Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad that you worship with us this morning. If this is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. For those who have joined us recently, let me share with you about the small group ministry at Koinonia, which is called Oikos. So what is Oikos? Actually, it is a New Testament Greek term, which means household or family. At Koinonia, our small group runs from September all the way to June every year. And group members are committed to grow, to share and pray for each other regularly. Currently, we have English Oikos catering for young adults, for adults and also for high school youth. And if you would like to know more about Oikos or if you are ready to join Oikos, please visit our Oikos page at our church website, english.mykc.ca to find out more details. Church, as we enter into the last quarter of 2021, do you still remember all the New Year's resolution that you have made back in January? Do you still remember all the good habits you were planning to develop 10 months ago? At Koinonia, we always want our community to develop the habit of reading God's Word regularly. And through Entering the Veil, which is the devotional plan for our church, many at Koinonia have already completed reading through the whole New Testament for the past 2 years. And in order to allow brother and sister to get connected to God at their own pace, actually we have developed 2 new tracks. For those who want to get an overview of the entire Bible, you can start with the overview reading. And for those who decide to meditate God's Word and to pray deeply, you can check out the meditational reading. All you need to do is go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. Under the resource section, you will see the section Entering Through the Veil. Once you enter, you'll find out how to begin this important spiritual practice. As we prepare to worship God and receive His Word, let me invite you to stand. In this month of Thanksgiving in October, let me give thanks to the Lord through Psalm 100 once again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Let's enter His gate with thanksgiving and let's enter His court with praise. Let's give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. Church, let's worship the Lord together.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. And we were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Come on. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. Shout out your praise.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us.
Speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hands. Jesus,
there is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms a storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus,
who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hands.
Jesus, Messiah, my Savior.
Yeah.
You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carried my healing in your hand. God, you walk on the waters. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. Jesus, there is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you. We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can break through. No mountain you can move, all things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save, all things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Overcome, you've already won, oh God of revival. You rose in victory. Seated forever on the throne. So wash in my heart fear what you defeated. I will trust in you alone. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can break through. No mountain you can move on. Things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it all. You can light it all. Oh God of revival.
Your people, come awaken the city. Oh God, oh revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God, oh revival, pour it out, pour it out.
awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Give the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, your people, come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
God, we praise you because you're the light in the darkness. You're the healer to those who are sick. You're the father to the fatherless. You're the helper of the oppressed. You're the comforter of those who are depressed. And God, we ask in this world that your kingdom will come, that you will revive your people, that you will raise up your church, and you will bring your kingdom and your will to be done, not only here, but also all around the world. Because God, we need you to come. We need your rule. We need your reign. We need your kingdom. We need the light. We need the healer. We need the comforter. We need the hope. We need the peace. And so, God, we pray your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, all the earth, as it is in heaven. And we pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, please be seated.
We live in an age when people believe they can be a Christian without the church. And some would even argue that I can be a better Christian without the church. You know what they said? I have enough problems. I don't have to deal with those nonsense of church people anymore. And you hear it all the time. I'm done with the church. I don't really need to go to church because my relationship with God is personal. You see, this trend is universal. Fewer and fewer people are attending churches every year. One of the reasons why is that these people feel that the church is full of hypocrites. Yes, who wants to hang out with a bunch of people who claim to believe in God, but living as if he does not exist the rest of the week? Who hasn't known someone in the church who always talks about God, but then he is caught having an affair or doing something even the non-believer would not do? And surely, you will see an encounter incident like in which Christians who go out for lunch after the worship service and rude to the restaurant staff or post some hurtful, inappropriate comments on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Why should I go to church so I can act like them? No, I can be a better Christian without the church, and that's a fair comment for them. So church, why bother? And it is true, For some, church is more of a ritual and they feel obligated to go. However, there are also some people who believe the church is not necessary. They call themselves Christians, but they don't believe they need to go to church. Others don't like the pastor talks about money, so they don't go. And some feel the message are either irrelevant to their life or they feel guilty or saddened by the teaching. Then you have those super spiritual people that Craig Groeschel talks about in his book, The Christian Atheist. And that is the people who have specific rules and high standards of what church should or shouldn't be like. Like, for example, like the worship music's too loud and they don't feel like it's spirit-led, or the small group is too boring and the list keeps going on and on. And what they do is to criticize, sit with their hands folded in church and wind up never able to find a church settled down. Sound familiar? So this week, as we continue our sermon series called The Christian Saviors, we are challenged to uproot one of the most misunderstood Christian atheist thinking, to believe in God, but not in His church. So who needs church anyways? You know, it's never been easier to avoid or skip church than it is today. Why? Because we have done it for a while now. The prolonged separation during the pandemic has given us the taste of skipping church. We can easily get all the Christian contents we need from the website, podcasts, and books, or even television or radio. Why pouring time, energy, and money into that weekly commitment to the local church, though? It's just a ritual, right? That is not necessary. And we have everything in need. In fact, going to church now really complicates our lives. Social distancing, masks, double vaccinations, and so on. I hear you. You know, it makes sense that non-believers don't think about church. But my question to you is why we Christians keep asking the questions, why should I bother with the church at all? I don't quite understand. What's really going on here? You know, I get it. The church is far from perfect. But as trendy as the idea of writing off church, it is definitely a mistake. You see, half reading the New Testament with even one eye closed will still lead you to the undeniable conclusion that church was God's idea. In fact, most of the New Testament is not about the teaching of Jesus. It's about the work of the church that Jesus initiated and ordained. If you really want to get rid of the church, you probably also need to get rid of Jesus. You can't have one without the other. Church was in fact God's idea. To many people, church is a building, a place, and a destination, and we simply need to go to it. Craig Groeschel, in his book Christian Atheist, notes that the problem with the going to church mentality is that it creates a consumer mindset where we shop around what's best serve us, rather than thinking that church is actually God's chosen vehicle to meet people's needs. Let's get real. If you are a Christian, church is not something you go to. It's something you are. You can't disassociate from church as a Christian, just as you cannot disassociate from humility as a person. You don't go to a church. We are the church. Did you catch a difference? It is us that God used to meet one's another's need. We are the church, God's hands and feet and here on earth. You know, by actively being the church as God's hands and feet here on earth, fulfill God's will, and thus, His will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pastor and author Erwin Mamanis once said, the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. I understand. Did the ideas of church being imperfect make some people like despair? But think about it. The fact that Jesus started the church with imperfect people should make us marvel at God's incredible grace. That God would use us, ordinary, broken human beings, as vessels of His grace and delight in it, it's truly inspiring. Christian atheists believe in God, but not in His church. But God has another idea. God used the imperfect but redeemed the church to reveal His plan and wisdom. Ephesians 3:10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. The idea of that God would use you and me is really amazing, and He had many other options. He could have spoken to the world directly, but instead, He chose to use broken people like us to showcase His grace to a world in need of redemption. For sure, community, church, is messy, and people sin. But as you start reading the Bible, most of the New Testament is not a story about an ideal church where everything worked perfectly all the time. And in fact, most of the New Testament is a story using His followers to share the gospel, share the good news in spite of their weaknesses. And by His grace, they overcome obstacles after obstacles. The fact that Christ used faulty people like us to accomplish His work on earth is actually a sign of His grace. And let me tell you, this church story, as twisted as it gets at times, is a beautiful story of His grace, His power, and His redemption. The church is, in fact, the living testimony that gives the world a front row seat to the grace of God. And we Christians are part of it, no doubt. We just cannot believe in God, but not in His church. 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually member of it. As we have been looking into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul here described the church as being made up of different parts and organs and how each part serves a different function. On one hand, collectively, we are the body of Christ. On the other hand, individually, we belong to that body as members, as the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the arms, and various joints of the body. Paul's purpose of using this illustration is to remind us that we all have an individual role to play. And it is by all of those different parts, such as eyes, ears, and arms, working together that we have an entire body. In other words, in church, you have a unique function that God has appointed specifically for you, and without you, the function won't be accomplished. And the church, in fact, needs us because we are part of it whether we feel like it or not. Without a doubt, by nature, we want to keep our options open. We don't want to give up our freedom. We don't want to tie down to anyone or anything. And commit to the church is surely not many people's priorities. Interestingly enough, that is the mindset of the Christian atheists. Believe in God, but not His church, because they think they don't need it. They don't want to tie it up with the church. And they believe they can pursue God on His own. But what Paul is reminding us here in verse 27, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We do have belongings, a member to the body of Christ, the church, and on our own is not an option for members of Christ's church. And now, when Paul gets to verse 28, he moves away from speaking fricatively. He's not going to talk about the individual parts of our bodies anymore. He's not going to talk about the hands and eyes and ears now. Instead, he's going to speak and talks about what those images were pointing to. And that is the officer that Christ has appointed in the church and the gifts that Christ has distributed through the church. Take a closer look at verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and miracles and gifts of healings, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. You know, Paul begins by noting that in his church, everything is appointed by God Himself. It is a choice and arrangement of God. It's not my choice, and it's not the choice of the leaders, or even the choice of Paul. Not at all. This is the choice of God that He has appointed in His church. And how He wants to arrange it, it's up to Him. And that's once again reaffirmed that the church was God's idea. Remember, Christ Jesus, the head of the church, set us free. And that is freedom from sin, not freedom from other people. If Jesus had wanted to, He could have said like this, "All right, now everybody listen to my words, but then do your own thing and don't get in each other's way." But He didn't. He assembled a community. When a person becomes a Christian, he doesn't just join a local church because it's good for growing in spiritual maturity. A Christian joins a local church because it is the expressions of what Christ had made him a member of the body of Christ. Let me tell you this as honest as I can. We don't have an option of remaining independent from the church of Jesus Christ. That's not on the table. That's not something Jesus has allowed us to do. We don't have the right to remain at a distance from the church. Yeah. In our North American culture, that is kind of unheard of. But let me tell you this. It's actually the good news because you are not alone or someone on an island. You now belong to an actual group of individuals who share in your sufferings and who rejoice when you are honored. I can be a better Christian without the church, believing in God but not His church. All these Christian atheist mindset, I'm telling you, the only one who wants us to believe that we are better off alone is our enemy. If you really think about it, you know, it's actually very, very clever. Nowadays, spirituality is increasingly seen as an individual pursuit, not a community activities. Honestly, I get it. In a world that is getting noisier, louder, and angrier, that was part of me that wants to retreat into myself more every single day. Add to the brokenness of we human communities and unhealthy or even toxic cultures, it's so much easier to say, "I am just going to figure this out on my own." That which many people are trying to do. And I feel the same tension as well. However, when I think about it, bit more. This belief to be on our own pushes us even more into Christian consumerism rather than into deeper discipleship. Here I am, all alone, worshiping God on my schedule when it's convenient for me. I know it. You know, listening to the podcast of one of my favorite preachers while I am at the gym or on the couch and playing a few of my favorite worship songs through my AirPod Pro does not make me a more passionate Christ follower. Without a strong faith community, spirituality becomes entirely about me, myself, and I, my own thoughts and desires. And spirituality becomes me shaping God into my image rather than the other way around. Yes, maybe a real church is going to be worse than your online experience. You will have to sit next to the people you don't like, and you could get hurt, and you will have to even serve and do something, and you may have to give as well. You will get into an awkward conversation with people, but this is church. Disconnecting yourself from the church community is actually worse than connecting yourself to a faulty church community. And I bet you and I can get out on the street and have a conversation with as many people as possible who used to go to church and now they don't go anymore. And I'm sure, and I bet you, we'll meet a lot of people whose faith hasn't grown. If anything, it's going downhill for sure. Rarely does someone leave a church community increase devotion. I have to remind myself as well that for the most part, my desire to skip church, my desire to pull away from the brothers and sisters and do my own thing on my schedule isn't solitude. It's isolation. And while solitude is a gift from God, isolation is a tool of the enemy. And there's no faster way to make a community ineffective than to isolate its members. Think about it. We need more churches. We need more Christ community in our cities. Craig Groeschel is spot on. Since Jesus lives in believers, we represent him to the world. And we in the church are his hands and feet. We are God's plan to spread his good news, news of love, grace, forgiveness, and changed life to the entire world. If you went to church and didn't like it, whether because you felt hurt, disillusionated, or disappointed, then be the change you want to see. Even though the church is far from perfect, think how much better it could be if you would give your life to it. God is not calling us to go to church. He's calling us to be his church, the hope of the world. Yes, pandemic may change the way we gather today and in the future. But regardless of how church gather in the future, we will gather. We need to gather together. And we need each other. God is calling us to be his church, the hope of the world. And the world needs us, we Christians, working together humbly to lead people into a growing relationship with Christ. Church, here, I really need your undivided attention, at least for the moment. I want to remind you, we have a mission. Very, very few people come to know Jesus because he appears to them supernaturally when they are alone and calls them by name. Does that ever happen? Yes, for sure. but not to the 99% of us. Almost all of us who follow Jesus have our lives changed by Jesus through a defective, inadequate, incomplete, and imperfect body called the church that Jesus so passionately loves and calls his own. We are the hope of this world and the gateway to lead people to Christ's church. It was almost 20 years ago now that I met these few young teenagers. They came to our church and joined a small group where Joyce, my wife, was the youth leader. At first, nobody had a clue why they would like to join us at the church. And I have to be very honest with you. We, as a church leader, were very skeptical. I remember the youth leaders had several intense meetings among themselves just to talk about how to deal with these bunch of gangster types of people joining our small group. I'm sorry. I was one of the defective, inadequate, and imperfect body parts in the church who labeled them. And I have to admit, I was biased. Most of the time, these few young teenagers were just standing on the side, observing while the others having fun and fellowship. It was so funny when I look back. When the youth came and asked them to play games or participate in certain programs, this group of young teenagers will send their little brother as the messenger to say something like, "Not for now. We have something important to discuss at the moment. We will join you guys next time. Come on, guys. You're just standing around." To be very honest, at that time, I was not impressed at all. Personally, I suspect them they come because they want to get a girlfriend or something. To me, this group of young people looked like a bunch of bad guys, gangsters, and really did not like them at all. I was very convinced at that time that they would be the bad influence. And for sure, I would rather not to have them in our small group, 100%. But I'm telling you now, I'm not alone. Many people in our church that time had the same thought. They are the bad influence. They are the bad guys, right? And you see and realize now how miserable and unloving people we were in the church that time. But to my surprise, when our youth start worshiping and singing, a few of them were really trying to participate. Wow, I never expect that happens. And to be fair to them as well, they did not make any troubles at all. They came to our small group weeks after weeks, and they rarely miss any gatherings. Then a few of our youth in our small group tried to reach out to them, and they began to open up and try to participate more and more. So to make a long, very, very long story short, even though they look and act so differently, and also there were a bunch of people like us, biased, faulty, imperfect Christians around them, through our youth in the small group at the church, the gospel message and the good news of Jesus touched and changed their life. Those I call gangster, they all became the disciple of Jesus in less than a year's time. And as far as I know, all of them are still keeping the faith today. I have to say, all the glory unto Jesus. Just imagine, what if there was no church available for these young teenagers 20 years ago? After all, what are they going to become now, 20 years later? Brothers and sisters, we are called to be the church, the hope of this world, and the gateway to lead people to Christ. So don't give up being the church in our city. Before we end, brothers and sisters, I would like to make sure we have something practical for you to take home today. You are the church, the hope of this world, and the gateway to lead people to Christ. So do this. Contribute and be the change by ways of serving, by ways of inviting more people coming to church, by ways of giving to His kingdom, by ways of participating in the church community. Remember, almost all of us who follow Jesus have our life changed by Him through a defective, inadequate, incomplete, and imperfect body called the church that Jesus so passionately loved and called our own. The church is not death. Far from it. And maybe it's just the beginning to take shape for a brand new era that desperately needs for it. In an era where everybody is looking after themselves and always looking for the most convenient ways for their own, it is just wonderful to get together and participate in something that inconvenient us, challenge us, stretch us, and make us uncomfortable and do something great for the world in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when the early church did just that, you know, it changed not only millions of lives, it changed history. So church, let's stand and have a word of prayer. Oh Jesus, You are at the center of Your church. And from our hearts to heavens, Jesus, please be the center. It's not about us. It's all about You. Yes, it's all about You, Lord Jesus. So Lord, please, through us, the church, be the change that You have called all of us to be. And may we all be an active member of the body of Christ, the church, and do something great for the world in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been You, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been You, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, You're the center. It's all about You from Jesus at the center of your church. Jesus at the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of your church. Jesus at the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. 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 Jesus, we pray that this song be a response to your message. Let us take a moment to remember our declaration. Nothing else matters. Nothing else in this world will do but Jesus. Jesus, you're different. You are the center, and everything revolves around you. Before you, our response should be to humble ourselves, to bow down and praise your name. So Lord, we first ask for your forgiveness. Forgive our ignorance. Forgive our arrogance, thinking that we're self-sufficient. But no, we in fact need you. And if our heart for you have been on idol, would you help rekindle our hearts, reignite our passion, and revive our first love for you? We open our hearts to receive you. May you be the center of our life, of our church, and of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we conclude our worship this morning, let me encourage you to participate and support the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca, to complete the online offering. And now let's stand for the benediction. Let me bless you with a blessing from the Apostle Paul from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow down my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. So go in peace, and we'll see you next week.